Howdy, howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 411, That Sweet Click. Well, how you folks doing this week? Yeah, we are just cranking along. Here we are coming up, the third week of August. Things have started to change over here in Montana. Definitely starting getting a little hint of that fall light. Critters are acting a little bit more like they're thinking of maybe winter's coming sooner than they planned. I hope it found you this week out there enjoying it. Lots of great storms, thunderstorms, lightning, critters on the move. We even got our first northern migrants coming through here, the ranch, which is always a fun signal. There's been a couple interesting articles out there lately, if you haven't checked them out, about hummingbird migration. Two things. One about helping them migrate, you could say, easier during these those times of habitat degradation and loss and climate change, as well as perhaps bringing more of them to your feeders during this time of year. So they're not hard to find. Quick search, they'll come up. They're kind of I found a couple of interesting things. We actually put out two new feeders based on what we read. We are using that powdered, totally brain farting what it's called. I blogged it about 2 months ago, rather than sugar anymore. And that combination, we have more hummers in the yard. And we think it's possible we actually might have had a ruby throater for 2 days, which is not something you would normally see in Montana. But, birds have wings. So bottom line is, it's that time. Get out there, start looking. And if you're along the coast, might be a good place to spend a little time for shorebirds. I want to thank my good friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com, for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. You guys show me a lot of love. So does Bedford's. And you guys show Bedford's a lot of love. And I'm really grateful. Now, this is the home of the Moose discounts. So after you check out, you're going to get that 5% back. And for a lot of orders, you're going to see free shipping. But besides the monetary side, you've got this incredible inventory with people who know all about it, who love photography, love sharing photography, love teaching photography. You got PhotoCon coming up. You have in the 6 stores, you've got all these in-store photo walks, classes, manufacturer rep days. I mean, this place is just photography, photography, photography. So check them out either in person, by phone, by internet. Make sure you tell them that Moose sent you so you receive that serious money back in your pocket that you can turn around and spend more time out shooting. So thank Bedford's for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. Spotify has this past week, has put out a new app for us podcasters. The one big thing that I wanted to tell you about is that you can now make comments and we can have conversations via this app about the podcast or anything else. It's brand new. And I don't know about you, but having conversations in some of the other social media platforms out there really, to be honest with you, kind of suck, right? They just, there's so much noise. So this is really cool. I'm really hoping you folks will, if you got questions, comments, suggestions, head to Spotify, click on the comments for the podcast. Let's have a conversation. It would be, it'd be fulfilling for both ends, yours and mine, and I would love to be able to do it. And if you tell your friends, colleagues, anybody, not only about the podcast, but about the comments, we can grow a community, and it'd be fun to kind of get our own community going out there where we would be able to talk and celebrate the world around us through photography and through each other. So Spotify comments, check it out. That Sweet Click. I've got a new tool here in the office. It's the Benro Polaris Astro. It is this amazing tripod head. And that's all it is. It's a tripod head. Except it does a ton of things. It does the path lapse, which is the head moves while you do a time lapse. It does, if you want to track the heavens, and it's connected to, like, I use an iPad because it's easier than dedicating the iPhone to it. You can point it, you don't point it. You calibrate the head, takes seconds to do. And then you tell it to go find this star in the heavens. And all of a sudden it goes, it's very robotic. It's kind of cool. And boing, it's right on that star. Then you can do whatever kind of astrophotography you want. I mean, this, like I said, I've only had it for a week. It is just a very simplified, complicated tool. And I, the possibilities have got me just my gears turning. But in this process, you know, I was like, okay, I'm taking these shots, but I want that sweet click. I want that shot. I don't know if you saw it. It was posted a bit this last week during the height of the, starts with the P again. I should have written it down because I should have learned from last podcast. Anyway, during the meteorite shower, excuse me, all choked up over this. There's a gorgeous shot this guy shot at Stonehenge with the Milky Way, with all these shooting stars emanating from the Milky Way. It's a spectacular vertical shot. And I saw that, and I'm like, okay, well, I know I'm not going to get the Milky Way. It's not where, you know, I'm not going to stay up right now. It's not where I can see it relatively easily from the ranch. But I want that sweet click. How much effort am I going to go in to get that sweet click? And that set my mind down that path, okay? That sweet click. When I go out, right now I'm in Monument Valley. And I got some last trip, which was in 2021. Yeah, 4 years ago, 3 years ago. I got a couple really sweet clicks. And I really liked them. I got one time lapse of a thunderstorm going through, which was cool and novel, but, you know, now that I look at it 3 years later, it's not that sweet click. So my mind just started racing as I went from the Benro Polaris Astro to, you know, getting star shots, starry nights, and then getting, then seeing the one from Stonehenge, and then to get to the point, how do we get that sweet click with the camera? Now, I've talked about lots of different ways on the podcast and on the website and Kelby One classes. Oh, by the way, thank you guys for supporting so much the documentary that's posted there on the Kodiak Brown Bears. But how do we get that sweet click? But more importantly, how do we know after all that effort that we got the sweet click? Because let's be honest, we're all human, and we put sometimes a whole lot of time and energy and forethought into getting that shot, that it's hard sometimes to admit we didn't get that sweet click. After all that prep and time and money spent, we got a goose egg. And one of the benefits I've always thought from film was that knowing if I got the sweet click or not was cut and dry. It was cut and dry because you're looking at your slides through a loop. So sharpness, that was instantly figured out. Exposure, instantly figured out. So those variables were gone. So then you had to look at the elements in the image and how you arranged them. And do they reach out and grab someone? And when you look at something that small, I mean, it's such a luxury, especially as you get older and perhaps need reading glasses, to have this big monitor on your desk where you can see things so easily. But 35 millimeter, you're always looking through a little loop at a little you know, 36 by 24 millimeter piece of celluloid over a light table. It was kind of hard to see things, and putting stuff in a projector, well, you know, after, you know, 30 seconds, you start fading that slide. So that wasn't, you know, so film, it was really pretty simple how to figure out that sweet click, because it just smacked you in the face. Well, that training really personally helps me become a better photographer. But how do you, no matter where you are in photography, after putting all that sweat and tear and emotion and love into that photograph, determine that sweet click? And then, once you determine that, whether to share it. There's a lot of and this is so human and so, you know, typical photographers. We take a photograph, we find something, we find a unique something, and we photograph it, a rock, a tree, a stump, a fire hydrant, a car, a bird, you know, and we're excited by that find, and we take a picture and go, boom, and you want to share it. And then crickets, you're expecting admiration for that click where the person looking at that photograph doesn't know anything about the backstory. It only knows that moment. So how do we tell that sweet click is really one that is universal? Ooh, boy, right? Well, that question's come up. It come up, I brought it myself, and life makes me chuckle sometimes. And then I get asked by two different individuals about that. You know, they didn't say the sweet click, but getting the great shot, which is something that never really, I don't think about the great shot, but how do you know? Well, as I discussion with them, the first thing is it's got to be light. People think it's the technical stuff, right? The shadow detail, the highlight, the histogram. No, that's not it, right? I mean, those are all built from what? The light. If you got the light correct, okay, when you went click, because photography is all about writing with light, those other things don't even come into the conversation. So if all of a sudden you're thinking about highlights and shadows, histograms, you know you don't have the sweet click, okay? When editors look at your photograph, they don't ask you to send the histogram, and they know that's the sweet click. So it comes down to the number one thing has to be light. It could be, if you think about some of the most dramatic or gruesome or just horrific photographs that leave an impression, it's not that horror that smack you, it's the way the light is bringing that to life. That's what makes that horror and that tragedy so horrific, is the way the light tells the story, whether via highlight or shadow or combination, it's still the light. So when you're looking at that sweet click, you've got to decipher and pick out the light. If the light's not working, it's not a sweet click. It's that simple. And the problem is, it being that simple, it can't be that simple, right? We don't like simple. We need, and many times we search for, and we can't find it, we create it, complications, rather than just taking a deep breath. And that's probably the next thing when it comes to deciphering and finding for yourself the sweet click, is you've got to perhaps remove yourself from all the BTS, the money, the pains, the find, the, you know, all that kind of, remove yourself from that for a moment. Go, I don't want to say second person or go back seat, but just, and not, I'm not saying look at it the next day or with fresh eyes, any of those things, but just for, you know, when you're deciding whether it is a sweet click, you've got to remove yourself to say, okay, do I understand the story? Does the subject smack me right between the eyes? Forget the fact that I got poison oak, stung by wasps, fell in the creek, car had a flat tire, plane was late. Forget all that stuff. Looking at just that, the elements and the light, does its subject smack me between the eye? That would be the next thing. And then I think, because you got to keep it simple. If you make it complicated, figuring out that sweet click ain't going to happen. So I think the last thing, look at the light, look at the subject, does it smack between the eyes? The last thing has to be is the background. The background, that stage that we have set for the star. Now, in the number two part, does the subject smack you between the eyes? Number one, number three definitely play a big part of that, right? I mean, the light is very important. The background is very important. But you can have great light and a real crappy background, and the subject just doesn't work. You can have the best background on the planet with bad light. The subject doesn't pop. It's if I had to put a trilogy to that sweet click, it would have to be light, subject smacking between the eyes, and the background. Now, as I kind of put this together, and you have to understand that in my little head, I don't really have filing cabinets with all this stuff neatly organized. If you think Moose is that way, yeah, I'm going to disappoint you. I don't work that way. Photographs to me are, for the most part, organic. I mean, yeah, I go to places setting myself up for hopefully success, but there's no guarantee. And when I get to those locations, like here in Monument Valley, yeah, I have past images that I would love to do better than. And I kind of have that in my mind, but it's got to organically just grow for the light and the subject and the background to come together in my viewfinder so I get that sweet click. So take a deep breath. That's really important. Enjoy the ride. Capture all those memories, because that's what photography is all about. And then when it comes to deciding that sweet click that you should share, perhaps just look at those three elements. You all have it. I know you do. That's the beauty of photography. You just got to recognize and share that sweet click. You folks have a marvelous week. I hope to see you on Spotify comments. Let's have a conversation. And remember to make every click your story.